Amen. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. There's a verse here in this chapter that really kind of scares me every time I read it. And there's a lot of verses in the Bible that I'm sure that you've run across those verses that deep down inside you wish there wasn't even in there. But you know they are, and they know you know they're God's Word, and you've got to swallow it. And a lot of these verses are hard to handle sometimes, and this is a verse that if you're here this morning, I'll tell you who I'll be preaching to. Is for you, to you, that have been saved and are now out of the will of God. You used to serve God, but you don't anymore. You used to love to go to church, but you don't anymore. Somebody had to twist your arm to get you to come this morning. You used to love to read the Bible, now you don't. For you. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 14. Chapter 14, verse 14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. I'd like to preach to you this morning on the subject, backslider, come home. I believe it's the plan or the will of God that everybody who's backslid get right with God. We have an idea that once you sin and you get away from the Lord, that then God's so mad at you that he ain't wanting to let you back in. And the devil will play that trick on you if you'll let him. In other words, you're serving the Lord. And then you mess around and do something that you shouldn't do. Listen real careful. You do something you shouldn't do. About that time, when you do something you shouldn't do, then the devil will jump on you. Have you ever noticed he'll tell you there ain't nothing wrong with it until you do it? And then after you do it, the devil will jump on you and he'll say, "Oh boy, you some Christian, ain't you? If you was a Christian, you'd have never done that, and you'd have never done this." And then he'll make you feel so guilty that you're ashamed to go back to the Lord. He'll trick you and get you to do wrong by telling you it's not wrong, and then condemn you after you do it and tell you it's 10 times worse than it is, so you won't go back to God and just give up and live for him. I hope you got that the first time, because I couldn't say that again. Now, what the devil does is I've seen this to 100 young people, I guess. Once he gets you to fall, it's very, very hard for you to keep your feet on the ground after that. I don't know what it is. Your feet get slick or something, but you start backsliding. Let me first of all this morning briefly identify the backslider. Who is a backslider? It's like you're climbing up a hill and you get almost to the top, you slide back. It's like you were here for the Lord and now you're back down here for the Lord. Now listen carefully, please, no talking. You're way up here for God, you slide back down here, and you're not up there for God like you once was and ought to be. Let me give you about 7 or 8 things that identify a backslider. Number one, getting excited about other things than salvation. When you first get saved, you say, "I'm going to heaven. Woo! I'm going to glory. Walk on streets of gold. Man, it's great." And nobody can't keep you down. You got a smile on your face. That's all you want to talk about. When you backslide is when somebody says, comes in and they say, "Are you saved?" You say, "Yes." "What about it?" "You want to make something of it?" Yeah. You know, they come in and they'll say, "The Cowboys won." And you'll say, "God, I had $5 back." When you get excited about other things rather than being saved, it's a sign that you're backsliding. It's not wrong to get excited about other things, But it's a bad sign when you get excited more about something else than about being saved. I tell you something this morning, friends. The Lord done something for me on April 19th, 1972. Saved my soul from hell. My name's written in the book of life. I'm not going to burn forever when I die. They shouldn't nothing excite me more than that. There's nothing more exciting than being saved. Number two, a slacking off of Bible reading and prayer. Oh, don't you remember? Boy, you remember when you first got saved, you'd read the Bible. Man, you'd get that thing down. And boy, you'd get it out and you'd read it. And you'd say, I can't wait to see what happened. And your wife would say, come on to bed and turn that light out. You said, no, one more chapter, honey. And boy, you'd just eat that thing up. And you couldn't wait. I remember when I first got saved, I started reading the Bible, and I read Genesis, and I got in there in them stories about Joseph and his brothers, and I'd hate to leave. And I'd go up to go side to go somewhere, and I couldn't wait to get back to see what happened in the next exciting episode of Joseph in the pit, you know, and his brothers rescuing him out of there, and I begin to read it. Do you know something? After you've been saved a while, don't you start just kind of taking it for granted? And you start saying, I forgot my Bible reading done today. Oh, I ain't. Good Lord. I got three short chapters today. Oh, boy. And you just start flipping through that. You just love it when you get in Psalms, you know. That's what some of you do. You say, well, I better read my Bible. And you turn to Psalms deliberately because there's about four verses in each chapter. And you just go, oh, read my picture. And throw it down there and you don't touch it no more for another few days or something like that. And you remember when you first got saved, when you prayed, you'd get down and you'd just say, oh, Lord, I thank you for everything, and you've been good to me, and boy, Lord, this is grace, hallelujah, and boy, you could pray, and then suddenly something happens to your prayer life, and the next thing you know, you say, oh, let's get it over with, and you get down and look at your watch, get my 5 minutes in today. Heavenly Father, I pray in Jesus' name, you'd help Mom, Dad, and Grandma, and Papa, and all the youngins and best missionaries on farm field in Jesus' name, amen. You know, you almost say the same thing every day, and your mind's at work, and on your hair, and your clothes, and your car, and you know, little by little, it's easy to backslide. You know that? It's easy to just start getting that way. The next sign of a backslider is a lessening of a desire to get home to heaven and the world looking sweeter. You ever get like that? Does the world, you know, I guess it's natural because you can see the world and you can't see heaven, but it starts looking better down here and a little bit more dingy up there. That's a sign that you are backsliding out of the will of God. Number four, a critical and self-righteous spirit which enjoy condemning other people. Have you ever met somebody like that? Boy, they just get up here and they're really right with God at first. But the first thing you know, they don't like nothing. They don't like nobody. They got a bad word to say about everything. And no matter, you can't please them. They're just, well, to put it in modern language where you can understand it, they're a grouch. If you're turning into a grouch, you're already backslid. And boy, you're just an old snob and got that bottom lip stuck out there so much, man, it's a wonder birds don't come set on it. And you sit there and everything, you know, nobody can please you. You're just an old snobby grouch. And boy, every time somebody looks at you, you bite their head off and you're hateful. That's a sign of backsliding. There's one thing the Lord will do for a person. It'll make them sweet. Amen? Now you say, well, you don't sound too sweet to me. Well, I'm preaching. I'm really sweet. Preaching is my way of taking out my frustration. No, I'm just kidding you. I'm telling you something, friends. Listen, God's Spirit will make you sweet. They say a Christian's like an apple. When they're a young Christian, they're green. And then they get ripe. And then you know what happens? You grow older in the Lord, you get mellow. Amen? Some have got rotten. I know some people that's been saved for a long time that are rotten, man. Really, they stink to high heaven when it comes to God and righteousness. But that's what it'll get, you'll be sweet if you're right with God. Number five, there'll be an indifference toward witnessing. You won't want to witness like you once did. When you first get saved, you want to tell somebody. When you start backsliding, you don't want to tell anybody. Number six,
Time is taken up with a car and TV and hobbies and sports. That was once given to church, Bible study, and prayer. Number 7, you're no longer convicted over the things you were once convicted over. Now, there's a sign if you ever seen it. If you used to do something, you felt like a dog, but now you can do it and it don't bother you. See? Your heart's getting hard. You're getting you're more sinful and more sin. You know what I've noticed down through the years? The closer a person gets to God, the more easily they're convicted about doing wrong. You meet this crowd that says, well, I don't see nothing wrong with this. I don't see nothing wrong with that. I do this. I don't feel... I'll show you a person that's heart is far away from God. The closer you get to God, the easier you feel guilty over doing something wrong. And just because you don't feel bad over something don't mean you're all right. It may mean your heart's so hard and you're so cold and backslid that God can't reach your heart anymore like He once could. Not only that, you find yourself hunting excuses to keep from doing God's will. You look for an excuse to lay out of Sunday school. You hunt for a reason not to go to church. Not only that, you go to seed or sidetrack on doctrines or prophecy or eternal. Yeah, I've noticed something about people that backslide. They really start believing real strong in eternal security. I would too, wouldn't you? I was living like a devil, I sure was. Now, I believe in eternal security too. But you really get strong on it when you start living sinful. One thing about it, I'm saying, why do you have to keep telling yourself? Because you're not living like God wants you to live. And you go to seed. I've known a lot of people that stay in church every Sunday and are backslid. They're going to seed on doctrine. See, we can get in here and we can discuss Calvinism, and we can discuss the millennium and all millennium, post-millennium, pre-millennium, and all that stuff all the time. And that way we wouldn't feel guilty because we would never talk about what we're doing wrong. Now, I believe in talking about all that stuff, but don't we need our sins busted every week or so and to keep us on our toes? And if you see a person that's always wanting to talk about prophecy or something that might be, they're trying to cover up for their sins. You're here this morning, you're a backslider, I'll tell you what you're like. You're a person who used to enjoy the Lord. You used to get in on the things of God. I mean, you used to be in, you know what I mean? I'm not talking about sitting in here, I'm talking about in. You used to be in. You used to do something for God. Your heart was in the work of God, but now you're like a soldier who's AWOL, absent without leave. You're like an AWOL soldier who has to sit in the grandstand and watch the other soldiers who were faithful receive their medals. You're like a ball player. He has to sit on the bench and watch the team play because he broke his leg in a previous game or practice. There's a lot of you that have broken your spiritual legs, and now instead of getting to play in the game with the rest of us, you're simply a spectator sitting back there this morning watching the game of righteousness and sin go on. You're like a man whose neighbor grew a garden, and his garden come up so pretty, and everything, and he let his garden grow all over with weeds, and let the bugs and moles and rats get it, and he has to sit and watch his neighbor enjoy the fruit of his garden while his is all grown over with weeds. That's what you're like this morning. You're like a person who wants to be out partaking of a meal, but has to stand back and watch the rest of God. God's people enjoy themselves. That's who you are. You're AWOL. You're absent without leave. You're out of the will of God. And the Bible says that the backsliding heart shall be filled with their own ways. Bible instances is David, of course, who because of laziness and lustfulness didn't go to his job. He wound up committing adultery with a woman, having her husband murdered, ruining his life and testimony. The example from the Bible is, of course, Jonah, who God called him to go this way, and he went this way. I want to tell you something, boys and girls, young people, ladies and gentlemen,
If God, you listening to me? If God wants you to go this way, and you're going this way, you're not going to prosper.
You say, well, Brother Danny, I feel good, I'm getting along fine, I'm happy. No, quit kidding yourself. You know that you'll never get to prosper out of God's will. Peter, who followed afar off, who warmed himself by the enemy's fire, and then denied the Lord, and then remembered and repented. There's all kinds of backsliders in the Bible.
And the bad thing about it is, usually when a person backslides, they don't intend on really getting all the way out. Usually when a person backslides, they say, well, I'm going to do this, and I know it's wrong, but one time's all, and then I'll quit, and I'll go right back to church next Sunday. And then you miss that one Sunday. And then you miss another one. And then,
and the next thing you know, it's been months or weeks or maybe years.
And you thought, I never planned on staying out like this.
There's people all over McDowell County this morning that's saved, just as much saved as me and you.
And somewhere they can put their finger on something that happened years ago. They got out of the will of God. They dipped. They've got sidetracked and now are back in sin. Remember when you couldn't wait to go to church? I've seen some people, boy, when they first got saved, they'd see me up there, hey, hey, Brother Danny, I'm a preacher, hey, come on there. Now you know what they do when they see me? Oh, Lord, there's a preacher. Don't let him see us, huh? Duck in the store. You know what you need to do this morning if you're a backslider? You need to come home. You know what I believe? I believe most backsliders are waiting for a bolt of lightning from God to hit them, and they feel the same way they did when they got saved, and that's what they're waiting on. You ain't going to feel it like you did the first time.
You say, well, Brother Danny, I want to get right, but I just don't have that feeling. God ain't going to give you that feeling this time. You left on your own, you're coming back on your own. Lord ain't going to baby you and pet you. You can't get the feeling you got when you got saved. You can't get saved at one time. It'll never be like it was when you got saved. Hey, man, you're born again. That's when God says, it'll never be like that.
You're going to have to come back cold turkey and just dog it on in there, brother. You're going to have to bow your head in there and lower your head and say, I've got myself in the mud hole and I'm going to crawl all this mess. I've got myself tangled up in the weeds. I'm getting out of it. You're going to have to fight for a while to get back in there.
You can't go out and sin and get your life messed up and then you pop back in church and say, Lord, forgive me, and everything be rosy and cool just like it. Don't work like that, friends. You've got a long road back to get your fellowship back with God that you ought to have.
I'm not saying you work your way back into God's will. I'm not saying God don't forgive you. I'm just saying you don't just snap back and become the most spiritual thing in town overnight after you've been backslid.
You may be here this morning, and it's been 20 years since you've been in the will of God. And you can remember way back yonder, years ago, when you used to serve God, but the devil's talked you out of it, and he's got you out of God's will now. I'm saying to you this morning, how long are you going to wait till you get right?
Let me tell you what you come home to.
Oh, it's a blessed sight when that prodigal son, that backslider gets up out of the seat and comes crying down the aisle and gets on the altar and gets and says, God help me! God help me! And boy, gets on fire for God. That's a blessing. You can come home to love. To love. You leave that old hateful, bitter spirit and admit your sins. You can leave that old cop-out of blaming everything on the church you used to go to. You don't have to use that as an excuse anymore. You can't sit there and tell me, I talked to a lady not long ago. I said, are you going to church? And she said, no. And I said, why not? And she said, well, because over there at the church, I went down there and somebody said this and somebody said that, and they just didn't want me, and I just quit going. I said, now wait a minute. You quit serving the Lord because of what some people done? She said, that's right. I said, that don't make sense. Why'd you quit serving God for what people done? Now, if the Lord done something bad to you, I can understand it, amen? But he didn't do nothing. What are you quitting serving God for? Lord, he never done nothing hurt you.
Brother John, stand up for a second. Now, I love Brother John. You got a brother, ain't you? What if I come up to Brother John one day? I said, Brother John, I ain't have nothing else to do with you. Oh, just forget it. Our friendship's off. You know what he'd say? He'd say, well, brother, what? What's wrong? What about that? Because I was up there the other day and me and your brother got into an argument, and I figured if he couldn't act no better than that, I just wasn't going to fool you no more.
And he'd say, now wait a minute, preacher. I believe you need to reconsider here. That's my brother. I said, that's right, he's your brother. He's your family. If your family can't act no better than that, I just want nothing to do with you. And Brother John would say, now wait a minute, I'm not responsible for my brother's actions. Why are you mad at me? Well, I'm not really mad at you, but I ain't gonna have nothing to do with you if your brother can't do no better than that. How many of you would think I'd be dumb to do something like that? Alright, you can sit down and say it. You know what? McDowell County's full of people. The Lord says, what have I done? They say, I ain't serving you no more, Lord. And the Lord says, why? Because the way your kids done me. And the Lord says, well, I can't help if they act like that. I'm trying to get them to do better. I haven't done nothing to you. No, you ain't. But if your kids can't act no better than that, I just ain't serving you.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself. God ain't never done nothing to you.
The Lord ain't hurt you. Let me tell you something. If every preacher in McDowell County turned out worse than Jim Baker, and every preacher in the world got drunk to law, you wouldn't have no excuse not to serve God. God's going to call you in for the judgment one of these days. Brother, if I let what people say make me quit church, I'd quit 15 times a week. Don't come whining around to me about somebody talking bad about you. I can give you a list of three pages long of stuff they said about me. I made up my mind a long time ago. This is my father's house. He's my father. I'm his child. I'm coming to worship him with you, without you, or in spite of you. Amen? I'm going to let you tell me I can't worship God. You ain't going to run me off, brother. I tell you, this is my father's house. I'm coming to worship. And if you get that through your head, you don't come to worship God. God, who's here? And she goes there, and she goes there, I ain't going there. And I don't like it. Man, somebody needs to slap you. They need to turn you over their knee and wear your bottom out and say, serve God! Serve God! You don't worry about what people does.
Somebody needs to talk to you like that too. It's good for you. You come home to love. See, I love you and I'm sweet. Second thing you come home to is fellowship. You remember how you felt when you knew he was with you? Just jog your memory a little bit. You remember when you first got right with the Lord? You went back to school or you went to work and you just felt the Lord right there with you? Phew. We said, man, this is great. I love this. Glory to God. Woo! Praise the Lord. Man, you ain't got that no more. You traded that for a bunch of junk. You started drinking beer. There's somebody in here tonight, or this morning, you started drinking beer. And the beer makes you sick, and it makes your gut stick out, and it makes your breath stink, and that alcohol kills your brain cells, and it costs you a fortune. And at your age, if some of you don't watch it, you're going to be a full-fledged drunk in a few years, spending half your paycheck on liquor and beer. And you traded your fellowship with God for that? You must have brain. You must have rocks in your head for brains. It's not worth it.
Oh, I know why you done it.
So your friends would think you was just as good as they was, right?
Let me tell you this morning, friend.
It ain't worth it. Not only that. Well, you remember when you felt warm and clean inside, don't you? And you gonna trade that for this junk? Listen to this. You come home to answered prayers. Remember when you could ask God for something and He'd give it to you? I've asked a bunch of people before. I'd say, well, I want you to pray about something. And they'd say this. Well, preacher, I can't really pray about nothing. I need prayer myself. That's a pitiful shape to get in. Somebody come knock on your door. Here's where what happened to most Christians. Somebody knock on your door at 3 o'clock in the morning. I need your help, God. I'm going to hell, man. You know what some most of you would have to do? You'd have to get down and spend 15 minutes rededicating your own life before you could help that person. Say amen right there. Amen. That's right, brother. You'd have to say, excuse me just a second. Oh, God, forgive me of my low-down sins. But you finally get peace of mind, you get up and you might help somebody. Now, why do you want to live like that? Why do you want one day? I could die, wasting your life. And I say waste. I don't care if you're making $1 million a day. Every day of your life spent out of the will of God is wasted for time and eternity. Boy, I tell you, it's a blessing to be able to get a prayer through when you need help. My babies, got two of them sick this morning. They got the flu or something going around and had a fever. You know what I could do this morning? It felt good. I just bowed down and I said, Lord, touch them. God, I pray your healing hand to be upon them. You know why? Because I wasn't out partying last night. And I was in church and I've been reading the Bible and I've been praying. Right? Listen, it's a blessing when trouble comes to be able to get down and pray. But you can't do that if you're backslid. Look at all the stuff you're giving up, man. Look at all the stuff you are doing without just for them little pitiful, petty sins and friends of yours. Not only that, you come home to warmth. You know what a backslider's like? He's like a man out in the snow and the wind blowing and hitting him in the face and everything. Have you ever stayed out in the snow? You know, it ain't going to be long or we'll get some snow. I hope pretty soon. If it's going to be cold, I want snow. I like to see a big one by Christmas anyway. Have you ever been out in the snow so long that your feet, they just get real itchy and tingly and you about got frostbite and your ears, man, my ears freeze off. And your fingers, and you come in and you just put them over the stove and warm, your hands swells up. You ever been real cold like that? Alright. You know how good it feels to come in and sit down and you take off one pair of socks and you take off another pair of socks and they're soaked, that snow melted in there. And my mom used to fuss at us because we'd dirty up every sock in the house. We'd come in, throw down wet clothes. As soon as we got warm, don't go back out. Put on more dry clothes and track mud through the house and just, especially when it starts melt. But you know, boy, it sure feels good to come in there and sit there and put a blanket over you. And boy, you just sit there and get real cozy and everything. You know what? You're a backslider this morning. You're like a man that's out there running around out in the snow. And inside your heart, it's cold. Oh, you've been out there, Blake. Why don't you come on in and get around God's fireplace? Why don't you come back in and run up the stone, friend, and get around here and warm your hands around the Lord's fire and just feel at peace. Listen, our stock market, they say, is about to crash. Our age is wiping out people by the thousands and they're going to say millions in a few years. Brother, you don't know if you're going to die from one day to the other. Plane wrecks, poison in the air, nuclear bombs, communism, everything. Man, wouldn't it be good for you to be able to enjoy this Christmas season, sitting around the house, reading the Word of God, and boy, just getting a blessing from the things of God? That's what you can do. You can do it. You come back to warmth. That's why Isaiah said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord.
And I'll tell you what's stopping you from getting right with God. One of three things. Either you like what you're doing too much and ain't got sick of it yet, or you don't feel like you used to, or you're afraid if you do get right, you won't last. Now, one of them three things is stopping you from getting right with the Lord this morning. Either you like what you're doing to him, so, no, if I got right, I'd have to quit this, and I like doing this. Well, you just keep on. You dummy, you getting ready to get your nose busted bad. You're going to have to learn the hard way, so I'll just quit talking to you. Number two, you don't feel like you ought to. Or number three, you're afraid you can't make it. One of them three things is stopping you. But I'll tell you what God will do. And I say this on the authority of this book. If you're really saved, the Lord will take you to the woodshed. And if he don't, you're not even saved to begin with. You're on your road to hell. I don't know how long it'll take him to do it. He might do it in 5 minutes. He might do it in 5 months. I'm not the judge of that. But I know one thing. If a man's saved and starts doing wrong, God will whip the daylights out of him. You'll never be happy. You say, well, nothing bad's happened to me. Yeah, but it don't mean a whipping don't always mean a flat tire. You can whip you in your mind, you know it. You worry day and night. You have no peace of mind and heart. No. The Lord knows how to get you where it hurts. He knows how to get you. And I'm telling you this morning, if you're not right with the Lord, I'm thinking of a man right now, but I believe just as much saved as I am. I believe he was. I don't know, but I believe he was. This man got out of the will of God and started sinning, and I kept telling him, I said, God's going to kill you if you don't get right. And I told him that over and over and over and over. Sure enough, one night in a bad accident, he was killed just like that. And I believe if that man would still be alive right now, you can get it the easy way, or you can get it the hard way. You choose which. I'll guarantee you, there's a lot of God's people went to an early grave, went in shamed, stand before the Lord, and see their whole life go up in smoke and have no rewards at the judgment because they backslid on God. If you're here this morning and you need to get right with the Lord, that's exactly what you ought to do before you leave. Let's bow our heads. Every head bowed, never eye closed. I want them to come and get us a song. In just a moment, we're going to stand and sing some verse of an invitational hymn. And if the Lord's speaking to you today, if God's dealing with you, you say, Brother Danny, there ain't a bit of use in the world me coming up there if I don't mean it. That's right. They ain't. So why don't you mean it? Why don't you let this be the day you say, this is it. This is it, Lord. Sick and tired of this life I'm living. It's going to be different from this day on. God, I'm going to get back in there. Maybe you need to come to this altar this morning and say, God, I'm not all the way backslid now the will of God, but I tell you what, I'm on my way, and I'm going to get it fixed before it gets serious. May God speak to your heart this morning. Thank God for these that are already coming. There may be others. There may be others. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. I didn't say that. The Lord did. If you're a young person here, mom or a dad, you're out of the will of God, son, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. That's all they are to it. You're in trouble with God. You better get on the stick. Quit playing around. God's speaking to your heart.
Father, do what ought to be done this morning. Thank you for these that are coming, making their way to the altar. I pray the Holy Spirit of God will touch that backslider today. Maybe there's somebody come this morning that's been out of church for years. I don't know. Maybe there's somebody here this morning that's never been here. Maybe there's somebody here that sits here every Sunday and out of the will of God. I don't know, Lord. Whoever needs to come, help them to come. Right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing. If you need to come, join these on the altar. You just get out of your seat. Come on, right now. Come on. Come on, right now.
I've wandered far away.
Just get out of your seat and come. Let God speak to your heart. Amen.
From God.
That's right. Let God speak to your heart
now
this morning.
I'm coming.
Just get out of your seat and come.
Home.
Let's rededicate that life to the Lord this morning.
Of sin,
amen. That's right.
Too long I've trod.
Amen. That's
Lord,
right.
Lord, I'm coming home.
Everybody, sing now. Sing it.
Coming.
Come on.
Home.
Just come on home today.
Coming.
Let the Lord hit you today.
Home.
And it'll be better if you put that life on the altar like
that. To roam. Thine arms of love.
Amen.
Lord,
amen.
I'm coming home.
You need to come. Come on right now. Now's the time to do it.
Waited.
That's right. Come on.
Many precious years.
Amen.
Now I'm coming home. I now
there's others here this morning. Way, 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 way back in your life somewhere, there was a time when you really knew you were saved. Maybe you knew God was real, but it seemed like your life just went all to pieces and it's been a mess ever since. Well, I don't know what to tell you, what I've already told you. You ain't going to be satisfied till you get it right. You can run all over this world trying to get something to make you happy and it won't work. We're going to sing one more verse. God spoke to your heart. You need to come. You ought to do it right now while we sing this one more verse. You know what you ought to do. It takes a man. It takes a woman.
I've waited.
God speaking to your heart. You need to come. You come on right now.
Precious years.
Amen.
Now I'm coming home. I now repent with bitter tears. Lord, I'm coming home.
Everybody sing more.
coming home. I'm coming home.
Amen.
Ever more to roam. Open wide thine arms above. Lord, I'm coming home.
Amen. I'm not going to close till we pray some more this morning. The Lord's getting some things done up here this morning. Everybody in here is going to face God at the judgment. You ready? You might fool me, but you'll never fool the Lord. God's speaking to your heart today. You ought to come. You ought to come. One of these days it'll be too late. One of these days it'll be too late. Let's bow our head just a moment and pray with these. Maybe there's somebody else here in this congregation today. God's dealt with your heart. But you didn't come to the altar. You say, Brother Danny, I know the Lord's dealing with me, but I didn't come to the altar, but my life ain't what it ought to be. I'm backslid. I want you and the church to pray for me this morning. I want you to pray for me. I wonder if you'd just raise that hand this morning. Just slip up your hand. Take it right back down. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I see your hand. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Anyone else? Slip up that hand. Take it right back down. We're not going to come to you embarrassed here. Nobody's going to try to drag you to the altar. We just want to pray. Anyone else? Anyone else? Just raise your hand. I see your hand. Your hand. God bless you. Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else? No? All right, I see that hand. Young lady, anyone else before we pray? Anyone else before we pray? Raise that hand and say, Preacher, I need your prayers. Please pray for me. Amen. God bless you. Anyone else? All right, anyone else? Amen. Anyone else? We're going to pray. My, the hands went up here this morning. The people that's out of the will of God. You'll never be happy, friend. You'll never be happy. I don't care what you're running after out there in the world. It won't make you happy till you get it right with the Lord. Heavenly Father, please do for these what ought to be done. I don't know what their own individual circumstance is or the situation of their life. I don't know, Lord. But you do, and I pray that you'd meet that need, convict them of sin, bring them to a place of repentance before it's too late. Lord, you know how to do it, what ought to be done. Help us to be a better example to them, that they can see you in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. All minds and hearts clear. We'll let you go. Remember this evening, prayer room, 15 minutes till 7. God bless you. You're at liberty to go.